I just didn't get a chance to put them all together and send them out. But well, and even though Ken's not on the phone, maybe it'll help me out if you give me an update on the tablet PC and how that's working out.
Okay.
Maybe we can explain about what it's for. And stuff.
Sure. So the point of the tablet PC is to give Ken and the other disc morphologists to enter data directly into the computer instead of writing on pieces of paper. And I think one of the primary goals, correct me if I'm wrong, is to make sure that the entire form gets filled out.
Right.
Was there a question?
Just that it does the double check, like that, you know, if the child got a diagnosis of FAS and it should have, they should have because of, you know, the right questions were answered in the right way. The same as the input tool does.
It is the input tool. We're talking about using the input tool on the tablet PC. So we've got a tablet PC that Ken can use, and Jeff Rogers, who's already going to Ukraine anyway, can take it to him. What we're looking at is what we need to change the input tool so that it really assures that no blanks are in it, because right now it doesn't do that. And, in fact, we took that ability out of it a few years back at request. And most of what's required to change the input tool to make sure that there are no blanks left in the system is really quite straightforward. But we need to take a close look at the complexities involved in some of the things where you're allowed to, you know, if the child is less than 1 year old, you have to fill in some variables, and if they're greater than 1 year old, you fill in other variables. And so there's just some complexity there we need to figure out. My concern is that if to get that done and be assured that it really is going to work between now and March 6th, we're going to need to take somebody off working on the neurobehavior stuff, which might push us back a week or two on that. Is that a major problem?
Yeah, I'm hoping that how to figure out how to put the 999s in, which are, you know, I think it was 4 9s for a blank is fine. You know, I don't think it's going to take that much time, so I'm more optimistic in that. And it can also simply subtract a date to see whether the child's 1 or more years of age to know which blanks need to be filled in and which can't be filled in.
Well, like I said, a lot of what needs to be done is straightforward and can be done in a couple of hours. But there are just a few things when it comes to assuring that everything is not blank that get a little – that we need to make sure we figure out, because some fields aren't supposed to be filled in. And so you can't necessarily just use the built-in methods for checking this, because it's a little more complicated than just simply all the fields.
Okay. But I think it's critical enough. I mean, we had a very high error rate or omission rate or whatever you want to call it on the dysmorphology forms. It's simply not acceptable that we have to deal with. So I think spending that time will be fine.
Okay.
At least that's my feeling. If there's,
I'm okay. If you said, I mean, you said a week. I mean, that's fine. Fine with the neurobehavior.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a week, maybe a week and a half or something like that, we'll probably lose on the neuro side.
Okay.
Is anyone near where Tina is? She doesn't realize we're having the call right now.
Yeah, the reminder was very useful to me that we're having a call, but it did say basic science on it.
Yeah, I'm sending her the information. So Tina thinks we're not having it right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's just emailing me saying we're not having a call, and I'm emailing her. I'll get her all the information. She'll be.
Why is that?
Don't know, but I'll get it to her. I'm getting it to her right now.
Andy, what did the email say? I didn't send it.
It says basic science conference call.
I'm sorry. I changed it in the subject and not in the message. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm getting it to her right now. I wonder if who else is missing from the call, and I'll forward this right away to them.
Ken Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tina and Elizabeth Sal.
Okay, let me get it to them as well.
Bill May.
Okay.
All righty. Well, the other items, is to talk about these records, and I have gone through and had someone who works with me go through all the records that we have. So we now know what's there, what's not, what we don't have in physically in my office. And I can say that where there, and Delila, who works for Ken Jones, put together all the discrepancies in the dysmorphology database. And when we went through that, she did a great job in doing that. And when we went through it and looked back at the forms where most of the issues were either missing data or miscomputed data, it is really missing data. And you can't compute the age if you don't have the child's birth date, issues like that. And it was done by not all of the dysmorphologists, but some of them, and in a routine fashion. So I'm not sure what we're going to be able to do to correct that unless we go back and find the child's birth date, for example. There are discrepancies in percentiles. There are misdiagnoses in a small number of cases. We don't have any of the data that the Jacobsons entered, although I have to get in touch with Jean Hoime, who may have them.
I don't think so. I don't think Jean Hoime would have them. I think the Jacobsons have all their data. I'm not 100% certain, but I'm fairly certain about that. And they entered it. Remember, they didn't even use the upload tool, the input tool, they used their own form. So it may even be in a different format. And the other thing is that we did give copies of every record that we had to Kent Jones.
Okay.
Is that recently, Sarah?
It was, let's see, when I was in Hawaii. So I think he got them. Actually, it was this week. It was Monday.
Okay, because I talked to Lila this week. Okay.
And delivered them today on Monday of this week.
Okay. So one of the things that I had a separate call with Lila as well, and we sort of went through the prioritization. So it sounds like the first thing we had said was to see the source of the error. So what you're saying is there's a lot more missing data. Going back to the sheets, there's only a subset of things that are going to be able to be corrected. Am I understanding what you're saying correctly, Ed?
Well, when we went through all the sheets and looked at missing and discrepant birth dates.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically it's because the birthday is not listed on the sheet. It's not that it didn't get entered into the database. It's just not there.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that the birthday doesn't exist.
Well, no, I know they were born, and I know we can probably find it if we then go back, match the name, and then go back to the person. And we can compute it based upon, if you believe the other data in the form, the age of testing, and knowing the date of testing, you can kind of compute a month and a day, or a month and a year for the date of birth.
Okay.
I don't think that you're going to find lots of data on the data sheet that was not entered into the data form or was not entered into the data input tool correctly.
Okay. Because one of the things, and this is perhaps, I guess, was one of the things I'd suggested on the call was I can only speak for what we use primarily, the data in the dysmorphology database from that table. We primarily need from it the diagnosis. We don't typically take from it a lot of individual values. We typically take the classification, and of course that's actually where race and ethnicity is obtained. And so I guess one of the questions when I was talking to Lila was, you know, of course you want everything to be pristine, but if you were prioritizing what had to be done first, I said it was important to survey what other people were taking out of this database. You know, was it all the records or was it particular fields and maybe prioritizing those for review? Because, if you go through this whole document and try to clarify everything, it's pretty overwhelming. But if you want to focus on the things that are going to affect ongoing analyses, I don't know how everyone else feels about it. To me, that seemed like the highest priority.
Yeah, and the things that went into the diagnosis, there's a tremendous amount of missing data simply because it was done at the Jacobson site, and Nat Cahole was the, I mean, there's a page and a
half.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of those. And then there's some where they came into San Diego and they've had their dysmorphology exam earlier. I mean, we know they have a diagnosis. So they came in, I think that's right, Sarah, isn't it? They came in with a diagnosis because they'd been seen previously as part of other studies.
Just a couple, yeah. Just I think that's just at the San Diego site. And there
yeah, no, I think it's only there. And
they were
and,
just providing the diagnosis to help you for cases that hadn't yet been seen for the consortium.
Right.
So I think what's going to happen now that Ken has...
That was, could somebody clarify what that last statement was? Sarah's statement?
Oh, there were some cases that in San Diego that have not, there are several cases that have not been seen. They've been seen by you, but not using the consortium protocol. And
okay.
So he provided with Tatiana your old diagnosis, just so she'd have something to go to use if she wanted.
All right,
to.
Fine.
You know, I
need them for the images because we've got images on them.
Yeah. Tatiana, I have a question. Something you just said as sort of an aside about the race and ethnicity data.
Isn't that where that comes from, dysmorphology?
It's in the dysmorphology database, but, you know, it's not on the dysmorphology form. So
you're right.
The tablet PC, it's not actually done by the dysmorphologist. So that's something we need to think about.
And actually, alcohol exposure is the same thing. That gets stored in the dysmorphology portion of the database, but isn't...
Yep.
If that's not its original source of where that information comes. That was why, I mean, and I don't want to belabor this, but this is one of the reasons we've had a whole bunch of emails about this, because if certain records get removed out of the dysmorphology database, it has implications because other necessary information would go out with it. So we've had a whole discussion sort of on the side about how we don't want to delete any records because there's other pieces of information that we have to have that are tied to that record that are only found there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I think Lila did a great job.
Oh, she did a fantastic job.
Putting this list together, and I think what we now need to do is to kind of have a consensus meeting between Ken, Lila, Sarah, and myself, and anyone else who want. I mean, a live in person where we just simply go through each of them and see if we can resolve some of these discrepancies to the best of our ability at the time.
Do you agree that the first priority are things related to the final diagnosis?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
There are a number one here where I think there are 90, almost 100 cases where there are insufficient data to support an FAS status determination, and yet they have 83 of them.
Were all those from the Jacobson?
They're mainly from the Rome.
Because the reason I asked is that I thought the input tool doesn't allow you to assign a diagnosis if you don't meet the criteria.
Well, it's the Rome data and then a page of Sandy Jacobson's data.
Because
and
the Jacobson's data, they did theirs differently. They didn't use the upload input tool, I understood. They didn't get that double check. Now, remember, they wanted to do it their own way,
right.
Using whatever that scanner thing was.
Right.
They would, and so they didn't get that double check, but I don't know why that would have happened with Rome.
We have the forms so for Rome, so we
yeah.
can certainly go through them. But and I'm going to have to talk to Sandy about seeing if we can get the data forms just as they had them, because I was there. I know they used the data forms. So.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ken... If you and I and Lila and Sarah can get together, Tina, and try to go through this like record by record and see where we are.
Yep.
All righty. I'll have Jill schedule something for next week, if that's all right with you. You going to be around?
Yes.
Okay. Ken, you missed a discussion on the tablet PC, but it'll be ready and Roger's
yeah.
going to bring it over. And
know how to use it?
Jeff.
Yeah, and you're going to be trained by Tina and Lila on the input tool here before you get there. And we figured if anyone was the ideal beta tester, and this is not my original comment. This came from someone who knows you very well, that if Ken could do it, anyone could do it.
Yeah, right.
So,
I think that's a fair assessment, though.
We're going to leave it at that, but you'll have it, and we would really appreciate any recommendations that you have. have afterwards.
But what you're going to be trained on is the input tool on a desktop computer, and then you'll have to translate that into entering it into a tablet PC. So it's requiring two parts of your brain.
And an altered time zone.
Exactly. So, right.
God help us.
God help us.
I'd bring the paper forms with me as well, Ken. So
ye have little faith.
So we have a record of what really is involved, all right?
God is going to demand that he keeps those, I guarantee.
Who is?
I'm teasing.
Oh, and if Leela's on the call, I mean, she did a great job in putting that list together, so please extend my thanks to her for that. Tatiana, did you have other issues that you wanted to bring up regarding the dysmorphology update?
I just want to make sure that Ken has received a happy Valentine's Day email from me.
Good. Yeah.
Did you?
Thank you.
Okay. He's gotten his file back to make a diagnosis, and I called it Happy Valentine's Day, hoping he'd be enticed to open it more quickly.
Yes. No, I did.
Okay. If you have any questions, you just call me.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that we had sort of agreed upon, but maybe this is going to be impossible, we'd sort of discussed the fact that I was going to have those pictures back.
I know. So Elizabeth and I talked about it. And if you want to be able to do it there, we're going to have to get rapid form back on your computer, which we can arrange with an IT person to do. We wanted to see if you felt it was important. And if you feel it is, we'll work with the IT person at your place.
I've got rapid form on my computer.
Is it a current version? Can you use it right now?
The trouble is the license expired.
You gave it to me about, you know, just after I returned from Indianapolis last year.
License expired, Ken, though, on it. Have you tried to use it?
I haven't.
You can't.
We tried at the meeting, and it didn't work.
Did we?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But didn't it not work because we didn't have a password or something?
It's because the license has expired.
Yeah. I mean, so if you feel it's important to have the images, then we'll work with...
I don't know how important is important, but I would certainly like to have them, and I think I could do a better job looking at them again
then,
and having the data in front of me.
Then I'm going to suggest that your IT person, Tina or Leela, and works with Tatiana and get the new version on your computer.
Well, that will be Caesar.
Okay.
I think Jeff has all his contact information
okay.
already.
We'll get started on that right away.
Communicate.
And that'll happen, and we'll be fine. Is that Tina?
I'm still on here.
Oh, all right. Someone just come on? All right. So is there any other additions about the dysmorphology database or the dysmorphology core that anyone wants to bring up?
Tatiana, did you guys discuss whether it was necessary once we had determined that the subject ID was correct that any other name information needed to be on the dysmorphology?
Actually, we've not talked about that. That's a good thing to bring up. Do you want to talk about that now, Ed?
Sure.
So the question was, some of the discrepancies that have come up in the dysmorphology database had to do with the subject ID number entered incorrectly or having too many digits or whatever, and that ultimately that has to be corrected. But one of the ways of being able to figure out which kid was which is, of course, to match it to the paper data form and to be able to make sure that the names were the same. But if we are to store the data without personal identifiers, including the name, and there is no paper form that the dysmorphologists are using the tablet PC, are we putting ourselves in a position of perhaps not being able to identify which kid it was because the subject ID is not right? So the question was, would it be important to somehow identify the kid in the database with initials or ultimately to strip the name? And Andy's concern about it was that, you know, we run around with the stuff on the tablet PC or sending it between internet sites with name of children included in it.
Andy, a technical question. In the input tool, can you ask for the name but have that as a hidden column that only a limited number of individuals, maybe one or two, would have a password to allow that hidden column to come up?
Hello, Ken.
Phil and I are looking at each other, trying to decide what the best way to answer that is.
Well, I'm like on computer files, you can certainly, not every file on your computer comes up on a list, and you can hide whatever files you want. And I think you can, in Excel, hide columns, depending upon permission level. And I'm wondering if we can do that in this input tool.
It's an interesting idea. I think we should investigate that. The data would still be there. It's
a permission level thing. So someone would have permission level to see the name, but no one else would.
We'll have to see what capabilities Access has for doing that kind of thing. And you know, sometimes Access does stuff that it looks on the surface like it's secure, but anybody who knows how to hit the right key combination can get to the data. So
right. All right. Well, why don't
Just a suggestion. I don't know if Access files can be protected this way, but RMS is a way to protect Office and Microsoft-related documents.
I'm not familiar with that, Michael. Do you know what RMS stands for?
I don't, but I can send it to you. we use it at the VA. It allows you to transmit documents, but can protect them so they can only be open and read, or that they can't be forwarded or printed, for example. So they can only be handled by the person on the other end who also has, an RMS account. It's something that Microsoft puts out.
Okay. Well, if you've got a pointer to that, that's great, and we'll need to investigate it.
Okay.
All right. I mean, so we can start investigating the name issue, but I think it's a good idea to have that because, I mean, until we figure out how to prevent all these problems, I think it at least provides us a way to go back.
Okay.
And, like, find out someone's birthday.
I agree.
All right, so.
That sounds good. And did we resolve the issue that are we going to not require Ken and Luther and everyone to double enter into the tablet PC?
We didn't discuss that.
It's a requirement now, I think.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm sorry. I know what you mean. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be necessary. I think we're going to take it as a written form,
okay.
And that's about all we could do right now.
Okay. Well, but at the same time, Tina, I agree it doesn't need to be double entered, but at the same time, by doing it on the tablet, it will ask you.
Right. They're going to get more error messages and range check messages.
Right at the time of input.
Yeah.
But it's more accurate. So I think it's fine the way it is.
Okay. Good. That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, the double entry was to secure that you were entering the data correctly on the keyboard. And from the data form. You had a data form that you assumed was right, and now you just wanted to make sure that your keying, data entry keying, was correct. I think we don't have to worry about that. If the data form's correct, then we're fine.
Okay.
All right. What other, anything else related to dysmorphology?
Well, I hate to bring up my age-old issue, but this frenulum issue,
yeah.
I'm finding it almost impossible to get any, I'm not going to say cooperation, but collaboration as far as this is concerned. So actually the one person who I found interested is Jill. So Jill is taking some pictures for me of all the kids that she sees of their frenulum. And Elizabeth, they're going to be sent, I think I emailed you about this, but they're going to be sent to you along with the other pictures from San Diego?
Yes, I already have some of them.
You do? All right. Can you guys look at that and see if you can figure out a way to measure them?
I'm going to take a look at them. I don't know about measuring them because you really can't see them very well because it doesn't get that close. This camera isn't designed
to
fit.
You can feed back to me about that. Jill and I can see what we can do about changing the way we do the picture. I know everybody thinks that this is a worthless thing to do, but I think there's some worthless things that other people are doing as well.
I don't think anyone thinks it's worthless.
Oh, I know that.
But I think some people aren't aware of it because I didn't see any email you sent out about the frenulum.
What?
I'm not sure I saw any email that you said.
No, I didn't copy you on it.
Okay.
I copied people that were involved in it. Jill and I will try to do it better if we're not getting it so that you can see it. But we have to know that you can't see it. So what should we do?
I don't know if it's so much as not seeing it. It's not designed to get small objects. It's designed to get a human face. And the frenulum's a very small part inside the mouth. And so it's really hard to see. And it's not that we're not interested.
Is it more of a resolution? Excuse me, issue, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's that, and it's dark, so it's difficult to see. And you know, that's why I said I was going to send it to Xiaofen and see if maybe there's something with the volumetrics or something like that.
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Ken, maybe what you need to do is to take different types of pictures of someone in the lab and send it to Elizabeth until she finds that the way you're doing it gives her a suitable image that she can use.
Yeah, well, it may be that just a 2D picture is better.
You know, but, you know, I think we had this problem when we started with the 3D cameras. We had to try to just different things using controls before we reached a protocol that seemed to work reasonably well. And so I think if you get a protocol that's reasonably well, then Elizabeth can work on it.
Okay.
Was anything happening with the left-right differences? I mean, I read the emails, and any further discussion of that?
So we were talking about trying to look at it with MRI data.
All right. And
I haven't actually, now that I'm thinking about this, did you email Elizabeth separately, or was she on the string when we brought that up?
I think she was on the stream, but I can't. I have to look it up.
I'll try to pull them up. I just want to make sure because I don't remember ever hearing anything back from her.
No, I think.
Okay. Let me double check and make sure she was actually on the emails. I'll do that while we're talking.
The logic of that?
Well, because what we were talking about was if you really wanted to get it, it might be a subtle difference that you might be able to see that and get a better measurement off of an MRI versus.
Now, what's the purpose? Michael brought it up, but
there were two issues. One of them was a question of symmetry, since Kathy Sulik sees marked asymmetries in her mice, and then the other was the broader issue of whether ocular globe volume would be a more accurate predictor of frontal lobe volume or other midline changes than palpebral fissure length, because part of the decrease in palpebral fissure length is a consequence of changes in the volume of the ocular globe. And so we have the capacity to measure the volume of the ocular globe, particularly with MRI, but could possibly do so prenatally with ultrasound also.
Okay, so that I understand, but I don't quite understand the left-right. Is it all related to Kathy Sulik's?
Yeah, the left-right is strictly related to Kathy's observation, which has been published before, but was recently published in Acer, I think in 2006. Scott Parnell had a paper and showed that with self-administration of alcohol, that animals have, I think, greater differences on the right than on the left.
Uh-huh.
There's also the asymmetries in some of the brain data that Elizabeth's reported. And back in the early 80s, there were animal data on both behavioral asymmetries as well as brain asymmetries.
So I have a question. Ken, when you originally determined that there was no reason to measure both sides, was it in normals?
It was in normals.
So maybe that's the difference.
Yeah.
Where you don't have brain asymmetry, you're not going to see a difference, but we should be measuring both eyes in settings where the kids are exposed. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. All right, we'll have to talk with Elizabeth Sal about what she's doing about that. And, okay. The other items on the agenda were the banking of the tissue bank and what progress has been made there. And, Tatiana, I guess
That's actually Charlie, isn't it? I mean, I've sent him all the information on DNA, and I think, did you have a basic science call? Has he reported anything back on that?
I got an email from Charlie. He was trying to put something together. He apologized for being delayed.
I just haven't seen it. I mean, I sent him some stuff. I haven't done all my stuff either. And so I haven't seen a final thing or like a written thing from anybody else. I just know the stuff I sent him.
Okay, so this progress is going, but going slower than we had hoped, but it's going. All righty. The other one was the alcohol use questionnaire. And I think, Tina, you were...
Yeah, so I think Sarah and others have put into the hopper all of the information that we have, and it sounds like Sarah was taking the lead, if I'm remembering correctly, on putting together some kind of a...
We did that originally, but Tatiana...
No, it's me. I was thinking something I'd gotten off the hook, and I didn't think I really was.
Tatiana has the last email on it.
No, it's me, and I haven't, and I honestly, I mean, this is not my fault. I took care of the Ken stuff first, and I've been dealing with Ilona, and I haven't put all of it together and come up with a smaller subset of questions to circulate, and I apologize.
Yes, and I have to thank Tatiana. She's been dealing with Ilona in trying to get permission to use the 3D facial imaging from Finland for things that were not explicitly stated in the original proposal.
I think we're making progress. I put that on the front burner because she needed it right away, and I didn't want to miss the opportunity to get it. So it's my fault. I keep carrying it home with me, and I've dealt with her instead.
And I think your responses to her comments were very good, and I think she would probably like to have her images used because she would get some, you know, more data out and without a lot more work. So I think that she's wants to get it done now. So
okay.
All righty. So we can.
I'm curious on the alcohol and control questions. Is there a sense that the set of variables that were decided in Vancouver in 2004 are not going to be the set of variables we use going forward?
I think we're looking for potentially, I don't know if I want to say better, but things that might be more useful in terms of asking specific questions. I think the question is, are they going to be doable? You know, Phil had indicated that he thought he had some additional questions that he could get out of his questionnaire that might address, in a better way, quantity frequency prenatally. And so I think the hope was, could we take some of that data? So I think changes, yes.
Yeah, I think there are going to be changes because I think we want to try to incorporate some of the issues that past is dealing with at the same time. So there might be some commonalities there. Ken, you had sent some stuff on about that, right?
Yes, he did.
All right, yeah.
I'd love to, you know, stay in the loop so we see what's...
Yeah, it's not there yet, Andy. Don't worry. It'll
be there soon, but it's not there yet.
All right, well, we have no problem. We have plenty to do, so...
Okay. All right, well, they were the three items that I had on the agenda, and I think we will sit next week and try to do this dysmorphology line by line and bring that database up so that everyone feels comfortable with it. And hopefully Andy will be resolving the issue with the tablet PC so that these issues are resolved once and for all in any future data entries.
So, Tatiana and Elizabeth, will you have Jeff contact Caesar or?
Yes, because from what I heard from Elizabeth, it sounds like Jeff has all of Caesar's information. So
I'm pretty sure he still has it because
I'm going to email Jeff. I'll CC you so that the two of them get in touch with each other and get rapid form on there for you, a current version.
Yeah, because I think all he has to do is download a license file. But the big trouble is that rapid form is getting ready to expire in about a week.
Okay.
So that could be a problem.
Okay.
All right, are there any other items for the that people want to discuss today?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a concern raised that if some data needed to be, if records needed to be removed from dysmorphology, that might affect ethnicity data, et cetera. So if those questions arise as you're going through the dysmorphology records and trying to settle on what the set of data we definitely want to have in the central repository are, please let us know so we can advise on whether or not something like ethnicity really would be removed if you took out an exam, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I guess I didn't hear, I must not have been part of that conversation about records being removed, but you know, one thing we did was, you know, we have those placeholder records, you know, for example, with the alcohol exposure information for cases that don't have dysmorphology, so that kind of procedure could be followed.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like a legitimate way to go about it.
All right. Anyone else? Anyone from NIAAA have anything to add?
Yeah, the only thing that I have to add, Ed, is that I need to talk to you.
Okie doke.
Are you at work?
I am. I'm up in the chair's office right now because I had a faculty meeting I had to go to
okay.
for the conference call. I'll just stay right on.
Okay, all right.
But, Jill, you can't hang up then.
Okay.
All right, you'll just have to, like, put your ear away from the phone.
I'll put you on mute.
All right, I can. I'll just call you back on your cell.
Well, you can call me on the office phone. I'm still here.
All right, what's the number there?
301.
Yep.
443.
Yep.
5494.
Okay, I'll call you right back after
okay.
we're done.
Right.
Okay. Any other issues? All right, well, thank you all, and we will attempt to get all these issues resolved and start working on the tissue bank and the alcohol use questionnaire. And Ken's going to bring back great reports upon the tablet PC, and then we will purchase the other ones, and your whole team will have them, Ken.
Great, great.
All right, and I'll see you next week about we'll go this over this line by line.
Good.
All righty. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.